Feeling the breath moving in the body, the wind moving outside. Maybe leaving room for the yum. The yum, both of the sensations of breathing sometimes, or the sensations of the wind on the skin. Or for some of us, the sounds of the wind. Also the yum of dropping the mind down into the warmth of the body happening by itself. Letting the body be alive without needing to turn around and watch it be alive. Giving the body more and more chance for longer stretches of stillness. So again, here towards the beginning of the meditation, in case you can already feel the body is not quite on the ground in a good way, just ever so lovingly and quietly kind of letting the body pour itself into a new position. The body's best guess of what would let body release on ground like a baby falling asleep. In your arms, on your lap. Letting the body be heavy and big and feeling the beginnings of pressure and trying and controlling, feeling that in the body, and then laying back down. Another totally different way of trying. From the inside of our experience. Staying with. And enjoying how the fact and quality of stillness starts to allow the movements of the breath to change. And sometimes then the quality of the movements of breath, the quality of the sensations of breath Sometimes we can feel it right all the way down to the soles of the feet. And sometimes there's a wave of how good it feels, and we can allow that. That's not separate or outside from the meditation. That's a natural deepening and lightening. The relief of actually just experiencing what is, the goodness of that, the sensuality, the subtle sensations. So if there starts to sometimes be a subtle sensation of yumminess, kind of velvety or silky, by letting yourself really ride intimately inside the breath, then that subtle sensation of velvety, silky, light-handed yumminess can be then more important than the actual breathing itself. We can then let ourselves rest with that yumminess. Let the breath be more background. Or if you notice that the state of mind keeps dominating, excitement or looking for something, trying to improve, feeling uneasy, angry, afraid, lonely, ashamed. Just so simply, as if you've just come across some laundry that's blown off of the laundry line, and you just pick it up to see what is this? What's the texture of this state of mind? What's the shape? Where in the body, if at all? Hot, cold, heavy, light, sharp, fast, slow, stuck. Just so simply, someone else's laundry, not yours. The wind just happens to have blown it here. That feeling of pressure or no energy, blank, or whatever. And sort of ever so friendly, whether we like or don't like the texture, it's interesting that we can feel. How cool that we can actually feel texture. Get a flash of the feeling of the heaviness of sadness or whatever. Feeling how that goes along with a certain state of body and a certain kind of thinking. And if we really remember that everyone in the room has at some time felt that sad or blank or embarrassed or whatever, excited, soft, And since we also know we didn't create that, we can keep kind of as if we keep shaking out the laundry that we've picked up, that bed sheet that we found on the ground. Not mine, and therefore interesting, alive. And we could just hang it back up on the line, just let it be held, not by you. Being interested also in the fact that we can feel what is our state of mind. There's always a state of mind. And we can, what is it? Let's feel it. And then we can practice leaving it. Just let it be. Don't touch it. Having touched it, no touching again. Maybe feeling for a place in the body that feels happy, pleasant, good, or okay. Staying there for a while. If it shifts from feeling good or okay to not feeling like much at all, then maybe shifting to another spot. Or if it starts to kind of get bigger, can let it get bigger. What is that that's getting bigger that feels good or okay? Does it feel creamy or like airy, breezy, silky, open? Held, quiet, fluid. And again, not that this is my thing, this is something each of us in the room has felt and will feel. It's a given in a human being. But in feeling it, what starts to happen? Do we feel afraid? Is there resistance? Is there a yes? Is the body melting into the ground? Is it starting to kind of float? There's not a right way for it to go, but we can notice how it goes. Is it hard to stay with, easy to stay with? So we're just gently exploring with our own mind and its ability to pay attention. It's had so much training to be scattered and to keep moving around. But as if we're playing around with a musical instrument, playing around with our ability to pay attention, and feeling for the quality of mind and attention that's in there somewhere of staying instead of moving around. Sometimes we can kind of find that note, that key. And sometimes we find where it's easier to find the note or the key in the mind of happy to be staying here. Just staying. Not blocking out all other experience, but just staying. With maybe a kind of creamy sweetness somewhere, or openness, or a feeling of lifting up slightly like a smile somewhere. And even though it's hard, it takes practice, feeling for that key of staying, that note, that's not so much me trying to stay with that thing, which is much more mental, but in a feeling way, feeling for how the mind somewhere would be happy to stay longer than usual, a few seconds maybe. And in the quality of staying a little longer than the habit, some kind of feeling of confidence, elegance, smoothness, spaciousness, something like that may come across in the mind. So the kind of goodness of what we're tuning to in the body, that pleasant sensation or okayness, or maybe just a deep okayness, no matter what's going on in the body mind. And also the subtle goodness of the mind finding its way of staying, its natural potential. Without pressuring to stay, without obligation to stay, but capacity to stay a little longer. Capacity almost to be held in touch with the deep okayness or the good sensation, the feeling of a smile lifting up from the chest behind the heart. And then if there's a feeling that the sweetness or smile feeling, whatever feeling you found, is spreading through the body or would spread through the body with a little bit of permission, then you can go with that if you want. Even gradually in its own timing, letting it spread beyond the body, filling the room, filling the ground. Or could feel more wholesome to you of just dropping into what you've been practicing the last couple of days. Maybe connecting to the lower belly or living in the back of the body, receiving experience. Calmly feeling this calm energy. That even though the mind's habit is to keep going out and go around, kind of fearfully, busily, with pressure, there could be kind of in the heart of the mind some just staying capacity. And the staying is a staying open, being an opening, where the kind of spring of direct experience can bubble up, rather than the imagined experience held by the mind opening to receive that live flow, whether it's sensations in the belly or the kind of subtle sensations, hum of aliveness, deep okayness, sensuality of breathing. Felt in the body, by the body. Would anyone like to ask anything or share anything? Yes, please.
So it seems as if you were saying that there's a mix of the concentration and a mix of investigation. But often it seems as if when there's no concentration, it's just idle daydreaming or, you know, lost in what's called in papancha. So, I mean,
what's your experience of investigation?
Getting lost.
When it's not getting lost.
Oh, it's very brief.
And what is it, though? What's brief?
Oh, usually it's just kind of a noting.
Like what?
There's that feeling again, mm-hmm. or these thoughts have produced this feeling in the body,
mm-hmm.
or that sensation can be drops.
Mm-hmm.
One of these books I read said 50% of your time should be spent in concentration and 50% in investigation. And I just, how could anybody do that?
Yeah. So, unless we really widen out the meaning of the word investigation, it sounds way too busy to be a meditation, to be 50% investigating. And so if we keep going by that, my interpretation of Gotam's turning point in his path, that it's not about just, oh, the first jhana, that way of feeling the happiness of being at ease, that's the way, but the realization that that happens naturally. So then your own mix of investigation and resting into what is will have its own recipe rather than trying to stick to 50-50 that someone said somewhere in a book.
Mm.
So first, we don't know whether that person had any right to give advice to anybody. Maybe they did. But for you, where you are, I think it's more important to let that happen. And if investigation could include, as well as concentration, could both include being mostly in the kind of fluid sensuality of the direct experiencing. So partly that means there could be less of thinking. So that we trust the system, so-called, or the body-mind, with less thinking, to also notice that can be dropped. It's just then a dropping. That we trust a little bit more. That just by being in touch with reality, then what's unnecessarily being held will drop, rather than, oh, that can be dropped even. That can be dropped as lovely. It's very quiet. Instead of like, I've got to drop this, you know. But sometimes even enjoying that along the flow of the sensual flow of, we notice that something's about to be picked up and it's dropped. And we just, wow, we enjoy that natural. The power and sweetness. Does that make sense at all?
Joseph Goldstein said that before a thought arises, he can turn away from it.
So can you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We can, the system, so not me, I'd be like, catching all the beginnings of those, all those habit tendencies. Then we have to call on the army, and then we're at war. But where the system is allowed to, just like the so-called the system, so that if we include in big mind the thinking mind, the unconscious mind, and the fact that we are a participation in wider living beyond the body. So the unconscious mind can take care of the body really well, much better than we can. When we're kind of at ease in our alignment. So just like the body could notice that the car is coming and stop, before I had time to think, oh, there's a car coming, I better stop. Similarly, the body-mind system starts to feel that uncomfortable feeling of being about to make a judgment, however right it might be, or to make a statement about 50 this and 50 that, or anything. About to make a statement is like, nah. And I think that's where the, you call concentration, so like the resting at ease in direct, the flow of direct experiencing. And what you're calling, what they call investigation, so then the, where the being in touch with direct experience flow can be freeing, can allow things to unravel. It's one stream. If we want to say the stream has two banks, we can say the stream has two banks. But I think it's really important that getting in touch with that, the goodness of the feeling of, it's not that I should stop picking up thoughts. I should stop letting them gather. There's like a rule of law, no right of assembly. Like, it's the feeling of that's unnecessary and painful, and even to be right. And how we also get the feeling of how good it is to be with what is most important. And then, oh, I hope I can get to the lake today. It's fine to have that thought, but I don't put all myself into that. I stay with what's more important. And so then it's like this edge of discovery, being resting in the direct experience that you call concentration, and letting things be revealed that you called investigation, letting the undoing happen, the unraveling, the unknotting. Like with a sweater, when we find that thread that's sticking out and it just, there's so many knots to come undone, that how good it feels to just pull and watch one by one the knots. And then the next one, next one, next one, next one. It's like this, we stay on the front of this wave that's a wave of experiencing softly, enjoying the power of life to undo the knots. So it's an edge of being with and discovering insight, love, kindness, power. So a little more enjoying, I would say. If you can take it. I know you're enjoying a lot already. Anything else?
What exactly do you mean by blank mind? Is that kind of a phenomenon? Almost like an ego that is wiped off the screen, but still like the cinema screen doesn't vibrate in that kind of storylessness that is pure love. So is that kind of a blank mind, just a dull samadhi or a phenomena of an almost autistic personality, because in your evap thoughts, still maybe there's a notion that you are not with all other human beings. There's just no thought, but you're excluded.
Yeah. When I said blank mind, I didn't mean any specific kind of blank mind, but you've just described one kind of blank mind. So sometimes just blank is because what's happening is so subtle I can't yet feel it consciously. And then we think, oh, nothing's happening, and we could get anxious. Sometimes blank mind is there's some kind of shutdown. That's a little bit what you're describing, I think. Or maybe what you're describing is that there has been a quieting down of something, but the deeper activeness of the system as a feeling of an exclusion, isolation, separateness is still on. And then it could be helpful, the mind has quieted down, we can feel the fact that we can feel the exclusion, the isolation, we can actually sense that sense of boundary or exclusion as not alive, not the way life works. So we can feel this doesn't work, there's something not quite living here. And seeing that, feeling that, can start to help. It's like we unplug from resisting and distancing and fearing, and it starts to soften gradually or suddenly.
But how can you kind of be aware of that? Because you have no thoughts, no blank mind.
Awareness doesn't need thought.
But noticing, like noticing feeling along with thought, so
not necessarily. That's what I was trying to say with Tom.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, then I didn't pick that up.
Yeah. Well, it's a hard point also for me to try to say clearly, so it's not. I can take the blame. Yeah, it's important to start to get into a flow where there is awareness that's not always me thinking what I'm aware of, but really noticing that so much awareness happens before I have time to think about anything. So I think sound is a great way to play with that and get the kind of situation. All the sounds here we have because they're coming in their own timing. You can really play and feel that the sound has come and you already heard it and it's gone. And even though the mind is really fast to say bird and have an image of the bird and the branch and whatever, the trees around, or to have that, you know, whatever way your mind works, to confirm that's a bird, the recognition part. That comes after. The sound is already gone. And we heard it. So that's one really simple sense perception way of getting that we have capacity beyond me naming what I'm experiencing. Much, much, much more. Like that so-called unconscious mind, it's not really, but the so-called unconscious mind is taking in, I forget the ratio, I don't know, 3,000 times more than the conscious mind. Or maybe it's more than that. It's ridiculously more. And as we quiet and trust less that what my experience is what I think I'm experiencing only, we trust the thinking part less. We're less interested in the thinking part. It's so boring. It's always like how I expected or what I didn't want, or it's all about me. It's so boring. Then there's more openness to feel how much else is coming in and through. So sound is a great way to play with that. And then we can start to get that with the body too. And the body gets to be more spacious. That it's actually before I can have the picture of my back, that the back was felt.
But what are we going to do when the mind, for example, is so dull, it kind of, you know, there's nothing going on. It's nothing moving. Maybe in the unconsciousness, but you're not aware of it. So you're not aware of the sounds. So there's just thoughtlessness. And nothing is moved. How can you, don't you need some concentration for being.
It depends what you mean by concentration. Depends.
Mm.
Still, it's not totally clear to me which kind of. So dull mind is not is one thing. Blank mind could be this dull mind. It could be a couple of other things.
Yeah.
It could be this kind of transition pause between in the practice that happens as we get deeper. So we get used to, okay, I can feel the breath for a couple breaths in a row, and then I'm lost, and then I'm back. Okay. And then, or we are feeling from my intuition somewhere in my heart, let's say, for a few months or a few weeks or a few hours. And then I can't find my intuition. Oh my God, I'm lost. And then we notice, I start to be able to feel it now down in my belly. It's a little bit different, a little bit same. And then we get the hang of that. So there's these gaps between, in my storyline of what's happening, and the thinking about what's happening, the conscious mind doesn't know what's happening. The process by itself is deepening. Our capacity naturally is getting more skilled, more subtle, let's say. But I think nothing's happening because I'm not feeling anything. The eye is like, nothing's happening. My retreat sucks. I'm not getting anywhere. Because the eye can't tell what's happening yet. Meanwhile, the capacity of the mind is getting more subtle, and then we start to get that, like, oh. So it's like we go into a dark room, and at first we see nothing, and then gradually we see everything. And then we go to next. Can't see anything, see something.
Is there also a blank mind where you can feel things?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There can be blank mind where I can feel.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can feel way better, way more subtle, more alive, more, yeah.
And what do you mean by a smile behind the heart, you know, give us this kind of suggestion?
Yeah.
What is this? Is this like a beginning of Purusha, or?
We could say, yeah. Some people might feel in a meditation where they start to feel at home, or outside the meditation, they might start to feel, let's say, at home. And there's a natural response in the body-mind with some kind of lifting up that sometimes could be felt to start in the chest, in the thorax, coming up. The mouth might slightly smile. There's like a lifting up, and it affects the body as well. If that happens, that's worthwhile to let it happen and to be with that feeling. That's what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's not talk about, if we say, if we nail it down to, that's the beginning of Purusha or something.
Yeah.
Let's just find out. Because then we think we know what we're talking about, and what's Purusha, you know? It's like, what is Purusha? What is the self? What is the goal? What is the... It's just a fancy word. You could call it anything. It's the beginning of God, it's the beginning of enlightenment, it's the beginning of true happiness, whatever you would be nailing it to. Why bother? Just like letting the natural response of like, it takes us out of the habit energy of being pointed towards trying to make my meditation right. And letting the system discover for itself its path through the forest. Like, go with the smile. So Gotam, when he gave instructions of mindfulness of breathing, it's amazing how we Westerners just ignore half of the instructions. We're really into the direct experience, like just the in-breath as it is, just the out-breath as it is. If it's short, it's short. If it's long, it's long, you know, whatever. But then the second half of the teaching is with happiness, with pleasure, with kindness, feeling the breath. And we're not really sure what to do with that. Because that doesn't sound maybe scientific or something. But it's just reflecting that there is this experience of being with the breath. Sometimes a happiness comes, and that's good. That's part of the process, part of the meditation. Let's leave room for that. So I'm just trying to remind us, we're so in the habit of trying to get real and be scientific and kind of clean and modern, basically, sophisticated. We're just trapped in our negativity. And so then deliberately making room for a happiness that comes by itself, or even deliberately going to look for that place in the body that feels good, to come out of the habit energy of, ugh, what we think is scientific, direct experience, nothing extra, clean, you know, going for it, and it's our negativity has us. So there's the two things. There's leaving room for a natural happiness that comes by itself to the mind. That's how the mind is made. And if that comes, let it be. Don't try to ignore it. And it's subtle. It'll be hard. It'll be easy to lose track of. Keep letting it come. Keep letting it have you. Letting it be itself. And then there's the deliberate coming out of the alarm system by going to a pleasant feeling in the body or a pleasant feeling in the mind and letting that have some time. And then maybe you go back to your, okay, what do I feel? What's here? The breath or the feet or the openness, or maybe that anyway goes to the same place. You can stay with the pleasant feeling. So it sounds like that your experience of blank mind, you sense some kind of shutdown there, and you could feel for the shutdown. But in general, just playing with that, there is so much sensitivity in the already awareness, I call it, and maybe playing with sounds to get that, how it's so quick. Our own capacity already, we don't have to do any training, already it catches the sound. And we're just not listening to our own hearing. So it's already there. We can relax a bit more.
So in this way, the blank mind could be a shut off or a beginning of a shutting off of the alarm system.
So maybe you're having different experiences of blank mind and you just thought it's all one. Maybe it's mixed. Or maybe you had a kind of prejudice against that state. So now you can explore more freely. What is that if it comes again? And having the more maybe this, maybe that, gives more room to really feel what it is. It's probably mixed. Probably some control and some quieting mixed, probably. Control for your alarm system, I mean. Go ahead. Did you? One sec, yeah. Was there one more thing you were about to say?
That opened up a lot. Mm. Trying, you know, with your support to understand that. But it's just ending in a very positive feeling. Okay. So during the blank mind, I wasn't noticing that much a positive feeling, but it comes out like that. I'm happy.
Good.
To not fully understand it, you know, but it correlates with the experience.
Mm. Cool. Great. Mala.
How do you stop mind chattering?
Yeah. So, two main ways to try for now. One is that you don't try to stop at chattering. You get blown away by how much chattering there is to help you notice it's not in your control. And it's normal part of the process of coming into retreat. And that's all chattering, and what else can I feel? Let it chatter. I can feel my breathing in my chest. Or let it chatter, I can feel my body on the ground. And then you're back in the chatter, and then something notices chattering, which is an interesting moment, because the chattering is all involved in itself. Something else notices, oh, chattering, and okay, back to the ground, or the breath in the chest, or whatever, wherever you feel easier to connect. So that's one way. And then this finding the soft spot that I talked about yesterday, feeling for the pleasant in the body, or we'll also go to a meditation where you're feeling for the deep wish, just wishing yourself and then wishing all the world well. May I be happy. Coming back to that. So it can either be tuning to what else there is in direct experience. That's one way. Let it chatter. It's okay. It's way up there and you're down on the bottom of the lake or the ocean. Or it's up there above the clouds and you're on the ground, whatever. You're the roots of the tree down there. Laying your head down. Oh, what a relief. You don't have to bother to chatter or be upset about the chatter or anything. Or tuning to something that is lovely to pay attention to. So also you could notice where your eyes are just looking at the sky or looking at a tree or a flower, resting into the back of your body, letting the color come in, letting yourself enjoy that experience. And the chatter might be going on, but there's also just seeing, or you can feel yourself breathing. So it's kind of starting to change to other channels out of that channel that we've trained the mind to be in all the time, to dominate with chatter. So it's not your fault, it's the way the mind is trained nowadays, especially. And there's also a kind of biological element of the alertness, the alarm. So slowly, slowly, that's all so dominant, oh my goodness. And I can feel my breath, wow, for half a breath. Then chatter again. So patience is a big part of it.
At times so overwhelming. So for me, it feels better if I open my eyes and meditate than close my eyes.
Okay.
Is that all right?
It's good to do what's better for you, yes. Yeah. And then also checking what's the overwhelm. It's usually there's some expectation that it should be easier. And assuming that it's all easy for them, it's just me that's kind of in a storm at sea with all this. And that's not the case. So that's why we practice. Yeah. But certainly, if eyes open is easier, great. Anything else?
Can I add something?
Sure. And then we're going to end. <Let's>
in relation to what Walter was saying, Tom as well. Yeah, so, in the last couple of years, I've been practicing more and more in the Zen tradition, as you know. And initially I was practicing Zen still, kind of in the Theravada, Vipassana kind of way. You know, it's what Tom was saying, 50%, 50-50 concentration investigation, something like that. And I didn't find it very productive or helpful, actually. And then one day I just came across this sentence, totally woke me up, and it said in Shikantaza, which is one of the, it means simply sitting, right, which is all there is, simply sitting.
Simply lying.
Shikantaza, one sits with the alertness of a samurai in a life or death sword fight. So for me, this has become meditation, what it's really all about. And it's a state of blank mind, in the sense that the mind isn't focused on any one particular thing. But the mind is so alert and has such a wide 360 degree awareness and so awake that it is anything but dull. It's a blank mind which is anything but dull. And mostly it's with eyes open, or at least half open or more than half open. And it really has this quality of being very awake and alive, very immediate in the moment. And there isn't even any more kind of questioning in my mind, oh, do I do 50% or 40%, 60%, that kind of thing. Mm. And you're just sitting total
great
awareness.
Great. So feeling how it can happen, someone's doing their practice and then something hits the spot. So for Kailash, this image could equally be for me, instead of the samurai in a life or death battle, that immediacy of the flower, completely itself, without hesitation, without holding back, without pushing, So it's not going to be the one image that works for everyone, but the feeling that's coming across of Kailash's love of his, how his practice has come alive, and the brightness that's there that hit the spot by that image. Okay. Jody, is it okay to...